We're beginning today what is an immensely fundamental topic. It's one that we're going to talk about for a couple of weeks here on Friday. I want to frame the issue a little bit today and speak in particular about the view of the Chasam Sofer, which I think is incredibly intriguing and incredibly important. Let me begin by saying the following. I imagine that the sugya of Tamei HaMitzvos, of why we fulfill mitzvos, we have a lot sort of riding on that question. As people who are committed to performing mitzvos, understanding why we do it makes a lot of sense. As we'll speak about a little bit later, many of us have a natural pull towards wanting to know why we do that which we do. This idea that if I'm going to be asked to do something, I want to know why and not just blindly follow is something which comes up all the time. It comes up in raising children. My kids say, you know, can you please do that? It's like, well, why? And the why question is, it often, I think for many of us, we assume that the more we know why we do something, the more motivated we will be to do it. If I know better why learn Gemara, so I'll be more motivated to learn Gemara. If I know more why it's important to be sensitive to my roommates, so I'll be more sensitive to my roommates. And why often we assume comes with is a motivator and a very valid question. The sugya of Tamei HaMitzvos is a sugya which, from Chazal to Rishonim, to Gedolei HaMachshava, to Gedolei HaPoskim, to Gedolei HaChassidus, it's a topic which has fascinated many. There are, I believe, three or four sort of different questions to think about. We'll list the questions now, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to address some of them, at least in the perspective of these Achronim. Years ago, we gave shiurim on this and the thought of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Maharal, and Sefer Chassidus, but we'll try to fill things in from a bit of a different angle now. There are four real questions, I think. One question is the whole enterprise worth it? Are we supposed to try to understand why to fulfill mitzvos? Is that something which is valuable? Many of us are aware of the fact that if you look, as an example, in the Psukim, in Vayikra, Parak Yichas, we have distinctions between as Mishpatai Tasu, Veshlukosai, Tishmeru, that we have distinctions between Chukos and Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim, in many ways, is about Mishpatim, obviously. We have Chukim, like in Parshas Chukas, of those Chukas HaTorah. But there's a difference, as we know, Mishpatim are those that we can really understand. Chukim are those that, at minimum, don't have a revealed reason. And is it worth it exploring the reasoning behind mitzvos? Is it worth it exploring the reason behind mitzvos in Mishpatim? Many Rishonim assume the answer to that question is yes. Is it worth it exploring mitzvos in regards to Chukim? The reasoning in regards to Chukim. If Para Aduma is the ultimate Chuk and doesn't really have a certain rationale, is it worth it searching, looking for underlying reasons to Chukim? The Rambam claims yes. I believe. Rav Sadia Gaon and some others may have expressed, we'll see a tour a little bit later, some hesitation about that fact. But that's one question. Is it worth it altogether? There's a second question, which is, if you believe that it is worth it, and you believe that you can understand the reasoning behind mitzvos, should that matter at all in our halachic discussions? Like if you're learning a particular halacha, and you think you know what the reason is, so should that impact what we will paskin one way or the other? One way or the other. If I can know the reasoning behind the mitzvah of karbanos, so will that impact when I say or when we hold it, their idea is relevant to the world of karbanos. The third question is a very intriguing one, which is, okay, maybe I can or I can't paskin based on them, but it's certainly worth it. What are the kinds of reasons that different thinkers may offer? What are the kinds of reasons for particular mitzvos? Are mitzvos there to make me into a better person? Elements of Rambam Ramban believe in that. And what does it mean to make you a better person? To give you better midos, to have you focus on Hashem more? Are mitzvos there to help me get more of a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? As some of the Hasidim point out, it says in Zohar that the 613 mitzvos are called Taryag Eitin, Taryag Eitzos, or pieces of advice, understood by many Hasidim to mean the mitzvos are the pieces of advice that we have to get close to Ribbono Shel Olam, to get close to Ribbono Shel Olam. Are mitzvos there for us to get closer? Are they there because they improve the world somehow? That's one of the questions to figure out is, number one, can I look into mitzvos? Number two, will my reasons matter halachically? Number three, what kinds of reasons what kinds of reasons am I going to look into? Are historical reasons okay? The generation that got the Torah in the Midbar, they needed this mitzvah because of where they were at, and you're giving certain historical reasons, as the Rambam does in Mor Nevuchim, very controversially. The fourth sort of issue which comes up in Tameh HaMitzvos, again, trying to give a bit of a broader overview, is that there are particular mitzvos that become like case studies, major discussions, where Rishonim and Achronim really struggle to figure out what's going on, and those individual mitzvos become critically important for the general sugya of Tameh HaMitzvos. What are examples of those mitzvos? One of them we referenced already, and that is the sugya of Karbanos. The Rambam, the Ramban, at length, the Kuzari, discuss the reason and rationale behind Karbanos. It's a big, big discussion. The Ramban, a Sefer Hirokot Torah Se'ola, has double-digit explanations in different Mefarshim for why we offer Karbanos. It was a very hot topic. Shiluach HaKein in Parshas Kisetze is a very famous Ramban al Torah. It relates to a sugya Meseches Brachos, the idea you have to send away the bird before you take the eggs. What's going on there? That becomes a very, very important sugya. Discussion in the Rambam, the Torah, and the Beis Yosef about why it's usher to shave. That also becomes a bit of an important topic, And that's all, I guess, on some level, some of the issues which come up. What we're going to try to do today is to explore in the best way possible the particular shita of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer is unique. We're going to speak about him first. Next week, we'll speak about those who argue with him. There are elements of what he said which are a little bit complicated. As we try to do, we're going to draw on Chasam Sofer in his drashos. Maybe, if we have time, a little bit Chasam Sofer in his commentary on Shas. We're going to speak a lot about Chasam Sofer in different tshuvas, and we're going to try to see what the Chasam Sofer does, which I think is a little bit unique. We're going to begin by learning a piece from a drasha of the Chasam Sofer. It's right here on the sheet. It's from Chelek Aleph, and it's a drasha from Shabbat Shuvah. It's on page Yutes there. And the Chasam Sofer has, let me give a little bit of background, but the Chasam Sofer in general, amongst Achronim, he's not into and is very, very cautious about the entire enterprise of looking into the reasons behind mitzvos. In general, he's going to limit it. There may be slight discrepancies in different places how much exactly he limits it, but the Chasam Sofer is not the biggest believer in the world in the value of embracing Tameh HaMitzvos. In fact, he has some serious hesitations about the whole enterprise in a way which I think is intriguing and let's appreciate a little bit. The Chasam Sofer as follows. We say in davening, Yiratzon Lefanecha Shenishmer Chukecha Ba'olam Haza, that we daven Hashem, can we keep your chukim in this world? Says Chasam Sofer something interesting. It says the word chok in Bechukosai Teilechu, that you should walk in the spirit, God's chukim. So Chazal Darshan, we saw last week even that Rashi writes, what does it mean? In Bechukosai Teilechu. Shatiyu Amelim Batorah, that we should work in Torah. Says the Chasam Sofer, there was the Mehayadua Alisha Pritze B'nei Amenu. Says Chasam Sofer, we know in many ways, as we've spoken about, Chasam Sofer is contending with a very challenging reality. He's contending with the reality of people that were in many ways the beginning of a reform movement, the beginning of a Haskalah, those that are challenging observance of mitzvos. And for the Chasam Sofer, and if we have time, if we do this for like 3 or 4 weeks, we can think about elements of this nowadays. But the Chasam Sofer maintains that one of the things that the reform did, one of the things that people did in his generation that were not as connected, was they looked for the reasoning behind mitzvos, and then once they knew the reasoning behind Shabbos, once they knew the reasoning behind kosher, once they knew the reasoning behind these halachas, so what did they do? And because of that, they said, they said if the reasoning is not accurate, so it's all, the whole mitzvah can fall. Or, at minimum, they said, that there are ways of neutralizing the potential problem. So not kosher is a problem that I can theorize because it's not healthy. So if I find ways to prove that non-kosher food can be made in ways that really are healthy, so look over, there shouldn't be a problem to keep kosher. If Shabbos is there about a day of spiritual opportunity, so then does it really make sense to say people should stay home all day, they live far away from shul, and they shouldn't have a more relaxed day and a more spiritually ambitious day by driving to shul? And for the Chasam Sofer, part of the challenge, part of the challenge of a rejection in a certain sense, that Tamei HaMitzvos become not a way to infuse your mitzvos with greater meaning and greater motivation, but says Chasam Sofer, sometimes understanding Tamei HaMitzvos, especially if you are comfortable saying that you have conclusively proven and isolated what the mitzvah actually is, and then you are able to say, based on that, that reason you're willing to pass in the world of halacha, that doesn't apply. So Chasam Sofer says the entire enterprise is one that he is incredibly cautious of. That is what happens. People know that this is true. They know it's true, and it's done in a terrible way. That's Chasam Sofer. Not only that, he says, like, if a king gives a certain gezeira, if a king says to his subjects, this is what you have to do, it's inappropriate sometimes to respond by saying, wait, like, why? Like, why am I doing this? No, it's Chasam Sofer. You understand that it's in your best interest in a certain sense. You understand that it's valuable, it's important, and you know, you just accept it for what it is. You accept it for what it is. And in many ways, says the Chasam Sofer, here's an amazing thing. He says, "Vinei kichem b'sorah seinu kedosha im baru lomar tamim al hamitzvos im kain." If that's true, you know, maybe to translate different languages, make it as valuable as possible. He said, "But I'm nervous about this." And in many ways, Chasam Sofer understands that the ultimate goal is to treat, at least in this piece in drashas, all mitzvos like chukim, and even the mitzvos which you think you really understand, avoid that entirely. That's why Chasam Sofer says Talmud Torah is often focused on chukim. In b'chukos I say lechu, so to amelim b'torah, be amel in Torah, understand its details, understand the exact parameters of it, understand the halacha, but relate to it as a chok. Vatzalam deim chuke chayim. We should learn the chukim daika. That's how we should relate to it, by learning dafka it as being chukim. And that's the beginning, as he referenced. That what do we want to keep in this world? Chukim. It's not la'afuke. It doesn't come to exclude mitzvahs that are defined in Mishpatim. But says Chasam Sofer, really what we should want to do is relate to all mitzvahs as chukim. Don't engage in the reasoning. The reasoning is not what is not what's appropriate. Not what's appropriate at all. A very strong view of the Chasam Sofer, not just saying we don't paskin like reasonings of mitzvos, not just saying we paskin lo darshin and time and dekra, but the Chasam Sofer himself is really saying, you know what, this whole enterprise is incredibly risky. It's incredibly risky. A guy says, so, you know, to extend it a little bit, a guy says, why should I learn? So if I give certain reasons and the guy doesn't buy the reasons, so what's going to happen? He's going to reject it. If I suggest certain things, he doesn't buy it, it's over. And Chasam Sofer, no, it's this more chukecha ba'olam hazeh. It's b'chukos, I say, leichu. Relate to things as chukim. That is the best way of going about things. And in many ways, on some level, it's for pragmatic or practical reasons. And if you relate to things looking for mitzvahs, you'll end up looking for reasons not to make mistakes. Now, the Chasam Sofer is not usually or often as extreme as that. In the academic literature, some claim it's a bit of a stira, even in Chasam Sofer at times. But if you look in source number 2 here, a different drush of the Chasam Sofer, it's a vort in the Pesach Haggadah. Pacha mahu omer, rasha mahu omer. Many of us may be aware of the fact that a lot of Mefarshim in the Haggadah, this is not Pesach time, but a lot of Mefarshim in the Haggadah try to struggle, what precisely is the difference between the Chacham's question and the Rasha's question? They both seem to be questions relating to Torah and mitzvos. What's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? So here the Chasam Sofer has a particular suggestion, which is intriguing, where he's more open to the idea of Ta'ameh HaMitzvos. Says Chasam Sofer, Ki klalahu, Ava pisha mitzvah lachkor, veleda shar she mitzvot v'ta'amam. It is a mitzvah. There is value in understanding the reason behind mitzvos, but be very cautious. Ava lo shi yezeh ma'akiv, v'shum shinoi b'maisa ha-mitzvah. We should never look for reasons. Reasons are never the reason why we do mitzvos. We really perform mitzvos because kasher tivani Hashem Elokai, there's a tzivoy. Like we often reference Rashi and Tainus when the Rishonim struggle trying to figure out in the Achronim what it means Torah lishma. What does it mean to learn Torah Lishma? So Rashi says in Tainis, learning Torah Lishma is because Kasher Tivani Hashem Elokai. You v'chiv to learn Torah Lishma. You v'chiv to learn Torah Lishma. So you have to learn Torah Lishma. So you v'chiv to learn Torah. What does it mean Lishma? Because God commanded you. The difference between the Chacham and the Rasha is that they both ask very fair questions. The question is what you're asking. The Rasha is wondering, should I even do this avoda at all? The Rasha says, convince me why I should do this. Convince me if it's worthwhile or not. Says Chasam Sofer, that's the Midah of the Rasha. The Rasha wonders, should I do it? Why should I do it? What's behind that? And then as a result, he may or may not perform it. The Chacham ponders and wonders about Ta'ameh HaMitzvos, but never as the reason to do it, and never while he's doing the mitzvah. The dominant kavana while doing the mitzvah is Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai, not because the extra Ta'ameh HaMitzvos, the way some explain it, give a bit of a ta'am. They give a bit of a taste to it. They give me something. It's not the ikar at all. It's not primary. So suggests Chasam Sofer. I said before, some wonder a little bit, is there like a stira in Chasam Sofer? So I thought, again, my own take on it, you can do what you want with this. Chasam Sofer is certainly, as we'll continue to see, nervous and hesitant about Ta'ameh HaMitzvos. In the first piece in Drashas, he's responding to a particular challenge of his generation, and he's saying, as we know, the Chasam Sofer himself wrote in Tshuvas and wrote to the Maariv Chiyas, that he wrote that, you know, there's a concern when his generation was Osik and Ta'ameh HaMitzvos and the negative fallout as a result. So then he said, you should really be avoiding these things. We're going to Torah HaMitzvos as Chukim. He doesn't deny it as any value. He denies it as value if it's going to undermine the whole system. But he may be open on some level, even though related to all mitzvahs on a level of chukim. They're all things I can do because Hashem commanded. It doesn't mean I can't and there isn't value if it's not going to impinge. It may enhance, it may raise up the quality of my Torah mitzvahs, all together. That is an element of Chasam Sofer in his relationship to reasons of mitzvahs. We're going to dig a little bit and then we're going to explore and elaborate on some of the implications going forward. The Chasam Sofer in Shuvas also has a very unique perspective on Ta'ameh HaMitzvos. And this impacts Halacha, and it really impacts Lamdas also. It impacts Lamdas also in a really intriguing way, with a question that we've spoken about a little bit this year, and we're going to share with you at least a little bit of what I think the Chasam Sofer believes. There is a machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara later on in Bava Metzia, whether Darshinan Taima Dekra or Lo Darshinan Taima Dekra. Do we understand that you can identify the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Chaf Aleph? Do we say you can identify the reasoning behind mitzvos, and as a result of that, be able to paskin? Or are we lo darshin at time of the krav? We don't identify the reasoning behind mitzvos and paskin as a result. Okay, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Many Rishonim paskin that we are not darshin on time of the krav, I believe. That we're not going to paskin based on the reasoning behind mitzvos. Nevertheless, the Chasam Sofer takes this to a particular extreme in a variety of tshuvas. Number one, the Chasam Sofer is never comfortable being makel based on a reason behind a mitzvah. He's never comfortable being makel. He is, however, in tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Chelek Zayin, Siman Yud Ches, and other places also, the Chasam Sofer is open to being machmir based on Ta'ameh HaMitzvos. So he'll never be mekel, but if there is a particular reasoning behind a mitzvah that would lead us to be more machmir, so then, says the Chasam Sofer, even that we will still be afsha anu kaimalan, even though lo darshin in time of dekra, you can still learn from the reason if you want to be a little bit machmir. So Chasam Sofer is open to, at times, reasons, but only l'chumra. But here's the bigger chiddush. The Chasam Sofer, and we'll give one example, the tshuva in Or HaChaim in Siman Pei Gimel, it's a very famous tshuva, the Chasam Sofer. I didn't get a chance to look it over again, but hopefully I'll say over the case accurately. The shiloh was as follows. A person passed away, there was a lot of money in an estate, and he left that money to a child. The child suffered from a variety of mental disabilities, to the extent to which he was undoubtedly classified in the world of halacha as a shota. He was a person that was incompetent. He was not chayiv in Torah mitzvos as a result. he was a kid who was unable to really function at all. He suffered again from some severe mental disabilities. There was a school in the time of the Chasam Sofer where they had done extensive work on trying to be able to discover ways of improving the life for such people. In order, they suggested they would never be able to get this kid to become fully functional, but they could get him to be able to, at least on some level, fulfill the basics. On some level, be able to be basic. Now, should we send to the school? So obviously, the answer would be, of course, why not? It'll improve the kid's quality of life. It will allow him to live a more normal life. Of course they should. The problem was that it was a non-religious, non-Jewish school. They had strict rules about how their system worked. They served particular food, and they would have served the kid non-kosher food to be there, and they were not comfortable bringing in any food from the outside. They didn't want to bring in any food from the outside. It was important, I believe, educationally, they maintained in bringing these kids along that they all be exactly equal in many ways, including their diet, and they weren't willing to. And the Shaila came to the Chasam Sofer whether or not you were allowed to send a kid to a school like that. Right now he's potter from Tarmid, but he's going to be eating machalos asuros. He's going to be eating tray food. And is that considered to be okay or not okay? It relates a little bit to a couple of questions. Number one, the status of machalos asuros and feeding food to someone who maybe is not, strictly speaking, required to keep all Torah mitzvos, but can I facilitate someone's averas? Is it called an avera? Are machalos asuros, are non-kosher food, able to be mitamtim the nefesh? Does it cause spiritual harm above and beyond whether or not he is obligated or not obligated? So again, you mandaf lamites. That's part of the discussion which is there. In the middle of that discussion, the Chasam Sofer points out a Trumas Hadeshen in the sugya of Chinuch. It's Trumas Hadeshen which we actually quoted when we learned Meseches Yuma. The Trumas Hadeshen says, what's so problematic about feeding a kid non-kosher food? He says the problem of feeding a kid non-kosher food is that if you feed him non-kosher food, he may end up, when he gets older, continuing to violate these averas. He's going to realize how good lobster is. He's going to be used to eating lobster. And when he becomes older, he's going to end up going and eating lobster. So argued some, maybe this should be a reason to allow the kid to go to the school. Meaning, sorry, it's a little bit of alumnus on a Friday morning. But because the whole reason why he can't eat kosher food is because he's going to continue doing it when he gets older, that's only true with a regular, let's say, katan, who when he gets older is going to be impacted by what happened when he was younger. But a shota, a kid like this, who may never actually reach the state of full das, and I would say, and even if he does, may not really remember or be impacted by what happened before he reached that stage, maybe I could be makil as a result. Maybe there is room to be makel, to be behave. Maybe there is reason to be makel as a result. Says the Chasam Sofer, no way. You can't be makel based on the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is engaging in Tameh HaMitzvos. He's engaging in Tameh HaMitzvos. And you can't rely on Tameh HaMitzvos like the Trumas Hadeshen here. A similar phenomenon, and again, please pay attention a little bit. There is a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin which tells us, Viata, it's a Gemara Menachos also, Viata kisvu lachem es hashira hazos, that we have a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah. Says the Rush, what's the rationale behind the chiyuv each individual has to write a Sefer Torah? It is in order to have a Sefer readily available to learn from. So if you have a Sefer Torah, you'll be able to learn from a Sefer Torah. Says the Rush, therefore, who hadin nowadays, a person would be Yotze. Discussion based Yosef and Prisha, whether this is in addition to or instead of, but a person will, in addition at minimum, be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Ksiva, Sefer Torah, every time you buy a Sefer. You buy a Sefer for you to have a book to learn from, it need not be a Sefer Torah proper. It could even be any Sefer which you could learn from, that would be considered sufficient, that would be considered enough for you to be Yotzei the mitzvah. Comes along Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas. Comes along the Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas. He does this in Yoredeya Simen Reish Nun Dalet. And he says, the Rush is engaging in Tameh HaMitzvos. The reason why we have a chiyuv to write the Sefer Torah, that's for Tamei HaMitzvah, that's because so you can learn, and therefore other Sfarim also, that's good. Says the Chasam Sofer, even if I'm open to Tamei HaMitzvos, I'm only open to Tamei HaMitzvos, lichumra, but never lekula. I would never tell you that you need not write a Sefer Torah nowadays, because the Rush says Sfarim count, and they're sufficient. Maybe it's a chumra, you can be machmir based on Tamei HaMitzvos, you should try to also buy more Sfarim, to also be Yotzei, that mitzvah, I guess maybe an addition, but that's called Tamei HaMitzvos. Essentially, what the Chasam Sofer does is the following. Not only does he initially say, don't try to look for the reasons behind mitzvos, not only does he say that maybe if you could look into it, never when you're doing the mitzvah, only at other times, and never is your fulfillment of a mitzvah conditional on Tamei HaMitzvos. Not only does he say that even if we use Tamei HaMitzvos, it's only going to be Lichumra, but he does something else also. And this is our of Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss points this out within the Chasam Sofer in a way which is really intriguing. There's always this question. We spoke about this earlier in the year with a suggestion from Ray Willig. There's always this question, what is the difference between Tamei HaMitzvos and what some would call good old-fashioned lumdas? What's the difference between saying this is the Tamei HaMitzvah and saying that Trumas HaDeshen is giving us a mahalach in the Isser of Sfiyah B'Yadayim, a sugya in Yevamos? Or the Rosh is giving us a mahalach in the sugya of Ktiva Sefer Torah? What's the difference between Tamei HaMitzvos that are maybe less appropriate, and the kind of lumdas which everyone that gives a shir on ksiva, Sefer Torah, will quote the Rosh in the halachic context, or the Trumas HaDeshen in the halachic context. Wherein lies the chiluk? Wherein lies the distinction between these things? So, there are a couple of different ways to go. One ha'ara of Rav Asher Weiss is as follows. It's one thing to reject something as Tamei HaMitzvos and to argue that it's not relevant when the time of the mitzvah is found in Zohar, when it's found in Sifrei Machshava or Sifrei Kabbalah or Sifrei Chassidus. You know, the Chasam Sofer himself argues for a different time that the world of Kabbalah and Nistar does not impact the world of Nigla. As we quoted earlier, Chasam Sofer and Tshuvas, mixing Nigla and Nistar is a violation of Kilayim. It's two good things that are mutter, but it's a prohibited mixture. So the Sofer claims in the world of halacha, you should not be bringing in Kabbalah. Okay, so if you want to argue that, let's say, in the sugya of Shiluach HaKein, there's a Kabbalistic pshat behind Shiluach HaKein, and that reason you shouldn't use for fulfilling mitzvahs, so that I get. But when it's quoted by Baalei Halacha, when it's a tshuva of the Trumas HaDeshen, when it's found in the Rush, so that is not necessarily considered to be Tamei HaMitzvos, meaning one way of determining if something is Tamei HaMitzvah or not, it's a very subtle difference. Again, we spoke earlier in the year about certain potential ways of figuring it out. But one very subtle difference is who is doing the talking and in what context. If you're learning the Zohar, you're learning Kisvei Ha'ari, you're learning a certain Sifrei Chassidus, and there you have reasons. So those we could usually chalk up to being in the world of Kabbalah. Those we could chalk up to being in the world of not Tamei HaMitzvos, or Tamei HaMitzvos that we don't Paskin-like. But when you see it in a Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah, when you see it in a Trumas HaDeshen and Tshuvas, so then that becomes not Tamei HaMitzvos, but something else. Meaning, the Chasam Sofer is fairly extreme. And those that you can reject so many different parts of Chasam Sofer, maybe it's always willing to look into Tamei HaMitzvos. Maybe Tamei HaMitzvos are valuable even when you're doing the mitzvah because they inspire you more and infuse more meaning. Maybe Tamei HaMitzvos, we could paskin like some days in Chazal. And maybe Chasam Sofer, some of the things which you call Tamei HaMitzvos, we call halachic hagdaras of mitzvahs. What I think is really important, with this we'll sort of wrap up and end, is the Chasam Sofer presents a particular extreme. In the world which is fascinated by, which always wants to know why, and always wants to make a lot of sense, in a world which is always of the belief that if I know why to do something, that'll make it more meaningful. It'll make it more special. The Chazam Sofer reminds us of two things. Number one, I guess I would say three. There's a great risk of always needing to know why. There's a great risk of making things, because why often comes with an implicit assumption that what I'm going to do now is conditional on the why. What I'm going to do now is taloi on the why. And if you start going in that direction, things get a little bit more complicated. Things get a little bit more tricky if you start viewing things in that way. If the why is like that. There's something else also. Which is, the Chasam Sofer is nervous. Is nervous. He doesn't say it explicitly, I don't think. But there's a question of humility often. For you to be able to determine what the reason is and to paskin as a result, that's something which requires, which is a particular kind of challenge. I'll end by just saying I have a friend, Rabbi Yaakov Danishevsky, who put out one of these like Jewish TED Talk type things, where it's a very personal talk. It's kedai to watch if you have time today. It's very kedai. But one of the things he embraces is the value of understanding the power of man da'amar lo darshinan taima dekra. The value of appreciating what it means to have a chasam sofer-like perspective. That ultimately, cultivating a feeling of the reason why I do things is because kasher tivani Hashem Elokai. That plays a particular role. If I do it even though I don't understand, I do it and maybe I'll never be able to understand. I'll do it because I understand it's my role and it's my mission. Ultimately, it's in my best interest. But maybe the whole enterprise is of secondary importance at best. In future weeks, we're going to, for at least a couple of weeks, we'll speak about those who are much more open towards embracing Tamei HaMitzvos and some of the Mahalchim in terms of why particular mitzvos should be done. Hopefully, maybe I'll be able to see you guys over Shabbos or not. We'll see what ends up happening. Really hope that things are going well. I really apologize for having done, today, yesterday, a little bit on Zoom. But as we're coming back to normalcy as soon as possible.